Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading today from Mark's Gospel that John has just read to us starts with the statement that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. This invites us to consider the context of our study this morning, the title for which, suggested by Stephen, is Sincerity and Truth. Whom did this teacher of the law hear debating? And about what they were debating? Further back in chapter 12 of Mark, we read about the Pharisees and the Herodians trying to get Jesus into trouble by asking him a trick question about paying taxes to Caesar. And you will doubtless recall Jesus's oft-quoted response, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." This silenced his critics. But the very next section of the chapter records for us another attempt to confound Jesus, this time by the Sadducees, who asked another trick question about marriage and the resurrection. But Jesus confounded them, as he had done the Pharisees and Herodians, by his wise answer. Thus, we know that it is Jesus' debates with the Pharisees, Herodians, and Sadducees that this teacher of the law has heard. Mark records for us that, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" This sounds like a reasonable inquiry, and it does not seem to be a trap. Indeed, there was somewhat of a tradition amongst rabbis of the day in finding succinct ways of expressing teaching in short, pithy statements. So a summary of the law into one statement of the greatest or most important commandment would be something to be admired and earnestly debated. I suppose most of us associate the law of Moses with the Ten Commandments listed in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In lots of churches, including here in Necton, they are displayed on a wall plaque or plaques. After the service, you might like to come up to the sanctuary and see these 10 rules quoted on the reredos each side of the central painting. Perhaps you memorized them when you were a child and can still quote them, maybe some better than others. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal," are the three easy ones to remember. The seven others are, "You shall have no other gods beside me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. You shall not give false testimony, and you shall not covet what is your neighbor's." So, which did Jesus say was the most important of these Ten Commandments? The answer, of course, is none of them. As we heard from our reading this morning, verses 29 and 30, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Remember, Jesus is talking to a teacher of the law. He knew the law better than anyone. So he quotes to him from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The people of Israel are about to enter the promised land, and Moses is explaining the importance of the commandments that he has brought down the mountain from God on tablets of stone. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What Moses is emphasizing to the Israelites is that the law is not a matter of 10 rules, but something that must guide and motivate every aspect of their lives. Thus we see that Jesus was not interested in winning some intellectual debate, but with devastating clarity and from a deep knowledge of the scriptures, he had silenced his enemies with wise words that they, as experts in the law, could not deny. However, although the Pharisees, Herodians, and Sadducees had been trying to trick Jesus, we have no reason to suppose that this particular teacher of the law was being insincere or trying to lay a trap for Jesus. Jesus's answer to his question, of all the commandments, which is the greatest, most important, is straightforward, although it was probably quite a surprise to his questioner and those around who heard it. However, Jesus didn't finish there. He carried on by stating in verse 31, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. You will immediately realize that this also is not one of the Ten Commandments. Yet Jesus says it is next to the most important commandment. This time he is quoting scripture from Leviticus chapter 19. And the context is various rules taught by Moses to regulate the Israelites' social life and relationships. Much of the content of the Ten Commandments is repeated, in other words, and the principles are expanded upon. The themes of justice and fair treatment are prominent, and provision for helping the poor is stipulated, for example, by leaving gleanings in the fields and vineyards so that the poor and aliens might find food. Amongst these various teachings, verse 18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. This is the rule that Jesus quotes as being second to the most important. Note also that Jesus says, there is no commandment greater than these. Thus, in the same way that our love of God is to affect every aspect of our personal life, So our love of neighbour is to affect every aspect of our social life and our relationship with others. Not only our own people, but the alien and stranger, and especially the poor and needy. In verse 32, we have this teacher of the law's response to what Jesus has said to him. "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." I said earlier that although the Pharisees, Herodians, and Sadducees had been trying to trick Jesus, we have no reason to suppose that this particular teacher of the law was being insincere or trying to lay a trap for Jesus. I think that conclusion is supported by this response. And it is particularly interesting that he does not just repeat what Jesus has said, but adds a comment of his own, namely, that obedience of these two most important commandments is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. That was quite an insight from a teacher of the law. And Jesus recognizes the truth spoken sincerely by this man. The final verse of our gospel reading this morning, verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." We are not told whether or not this man became a disciple of Jesus. Mark merely rounds off his record of the incident with a statement that from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. What do we learn from this morning's scripture reading? The commandments may seem negative and restrictive on first consideration, but Jesus shows how God's requirements are not about prohibition, but about love. So the challenge for us today is, how do we view God's law? Do we see it as a set of killjoy instructions? Or do we embrace its requirement for all-consuming love of God and love of neighbor as a guide for holy living as the children of God? The title of our study is Sincerity and Truth. If we sincerely want the truth, Jesus has expressed it very simply and succinctly. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
Thank you, David. Now let us stand and declare our faith in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you please either kneel or sit to pray?
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the greatness of your love and lift up our hearts in prayer and praise. Help us to pray simply and sincerely, unselfishly and gratefully, remembering the needs of others as well as our own, and giving thanks always for everything in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, you taught us to love our neighbours. Bring healing and peace to the nations in conflict and where there is political instability. Protect those who are poor and hungry and give them hope. Move those with plenty to share with those who have little, and help all people to love their neighbour as themselves. We especially pray for the people of the Valencia region following the horrendous flooding. Lord, be with them in their time of need, especially those bereaved, and for the rescue services bringing desperately needed help. Lord, we pray that we will treat all we meet with love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for your church throughout the world, for sceptics and believers, for clergy high and low, for all those who seek God at home, at work, in the streets and in the pews, for all who search for life. We pray for the stillness to listen to the voice of the Spirit, to recognize what you have already done for us, and to give you our endless thanks. We pray for all who minister here in the Nectar and Benefice, and pray that our church will faithfully share the knowledge of God's infinite love for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from our prayer diary, we pray this week for our rector as he returns from sabbatical, elections in the USA, young people in our church family and those that lead Sunday group for them, those living in the North Pickenham Road area, church wardens, war-torn areas of our world, and for our Remembrance Sunday services next week and for all those preparing for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we raise before you the sick and the suffering, and ask that even in difficult times we may honour you and encourage others by our prayers for those who are suffering today. We pray for those who have asked for prayer, for Angela, for Kim, for Clive, Sarah, and Emlyn. In a few minutes of silence, we bring these and all known to us who are in need in any way into your loving and healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of eternity, we thank you for all the saints, those recognized by the church and those only, known only to a few and to you. We praise you for their example and rejoice that they now will live with you in heaven, enjoying your everlasting peace. Faithful God, you have promised to be with us and long ago sent your Spirit to live amongst us, to guide us to a future of goodness and hope. As we travel into the week ahead, seeking your truth and justice, help us to feel your presence and see your answers to the prayers we have made to you this morning. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Di. Please would you stand? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please feel free to exchange a sign of the peace with your neighbor. The peace of Christ be with you. Bless you. We stay standing now to sing our communion hymn. It's in Sing Glory number 317, At the Name of Jesus. Just before we come to the Eucharistic prayer, let's give thanks for the gifts made to our Lord in this church. Gracious Father, everything we have comes from you, and all that we've given indeed comes from you in the first place. Lord, grant that we use it to your glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And now we give you thanks that he is the King of glory, who overcomes the sting of death and opens the kingdom of heaven to all believers. He's seated at your right hand in glory, and we believe that he will come to be our judge. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Be to you, our Heavenly Father, who in your tender mercy gave your only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, we humbly pray, and grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we, receiving these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. And he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You have set us free. You are the Savior of the world. Therefore, Lord and Heavenly Father, in remembrance of the precious death and passion, the mighty resurrection and glorious ascension of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, we offer you through him this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by his merits and death, and through faith in his blood, we and all your church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. Although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer you any sacrifice, yet we pray that you will accept this, the duty and service that we owe. Do not weigh our merits, but pardon our offenses, and fill us all who share in this Holy Communion with your grace and heavenly blessing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Please would you kneel or sit. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. But first we pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Body of Christ, keep you, David, in eternal life.